Welcome to our Easter 9 a.m. service. For those of you early birds, welcome back. Some of you guys, it's a lot warmer in here, isn't it? But we had a wonderful service. Pastor Ron, great team, worked super early in the morning. And then the breakfast this morning. And then our awesome kids worship this morning. It's been a full morning already, isn't it? Let's just keep it going. My name is Pastor Andrew. Welcome to Avalon Community Church. Welcome to Catalina, if you're visiting with us today. It is April 1st, and it is Easter Sunday. It belongs to the Lord Jesus. Every day does, actually. The concept of something being empty doesn't sit well with people, does it? How about an empty gas tank, for instance? When you're over town and you pick your car up from the Pike and you have 5,000 things you need to do and there's your tank, right? How about an empty iTunes card or Amazon card? Anyone? Yes? No? That one doesn't bother me as much. Empty iTunes card? Yeah, Emmy? Okay, cool. Right? How about when your drink is empty at the restaurant and the waitress or waiter just does not seem to pay attention to that and you are choking on a chicken sandwich or whatever it is, right? That kind of bothers us. Not so much some people. How about when you've paid for your parking meter over town, you're parking somewhere, like Colin Farrell here this week, noticed he had a ticket waiting for him on his parking meter. Anyone have an empty parking meter? Kind of a feeling, that horrible feeling? Exactly. Yeah, I've felt that before. But today we celebrate something, and it's a little different, a little different. We celebrate something empty today. We can actually celebrate something empty. Let's get into it this morning. You have sermon notes with you today. You're looking at a passage of Scripture from a different translation, one in which that was just completed back in 2002. It's called The Message. And we're going to read that together and take a look, if you would. If you have a pen, you might want to grab that too. And let's do this.
At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices they had prepared. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then, out of nowhere it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck and bowed down in worship. The men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He is not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you, when you were still back in Galilee, that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up?" Then they remembered Jesus' words.
Let's pray. Father, as your word goes out today in 100 different ways, including a sunrise, we turn around and we stop in our tracks to say, thank you. Hallelujah. You are risen. It was all for us. May we remember the words that you said. And like that video clip, may we rejoice. May we just bust out even laughing, going, the joke is not on us. It's on the enemy. We serve a risen Savior. May your word go out and not return void, as it has for year after year after years, decades and centuries. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking for a living one in a cemetery. Why Easter matters. You know, it's a message that's gone out. Many of you have grown up in church. And as a young person in Sunday school, maybe around the table, why Easter matters. And the empty tomb is where we go. And if you're looking at your outline, we start with the fact that the empty tomb alone is proof. It stands alone as proof. It's not an April Fool's. I really don't like it when people brag about claims that they can't back up. I've done that before. It, quite honestly, is a drag. I had a college friend one time that just every time we talked about surfing, he was all up talking about surfing, said he enjoyed surfing. And I remember the time and time again, he was invited to go with us. We lived in Florida. It was just a 3 to 4 hour commute across the state to Cocoa or Daytona Beach, some great surf spots, and he turned it down every single time. Until one day, we had hurricane waves on the Gulf Coast, and he couldn't get out of this one. And we took him surfing. And I noticed as we were all out in the lineup, he was nowhere to be found, and we found out he couldn't even paddle. So I went in on a wave, and we got him, and we drug him out to try to get him out there. And he threw up almost on top of my board as I'm pushing him out, completely seasick. Claims not backed up. His name was Stephen, and we had to back up and help Stephen learn. This is not your day to learn. These were hurricane waves. But people that say things, the empty tomb is proof that Jesus is who he said he was. And he backed up his talk. He then began explaining these things to them. Look at Mark chapter 8 in your notes. And he said this: "It is necessary that the Son of Man proceed to an ordeal of suffering, be tried, found guilty by the elders, high priests, religious scholars, be killed. After 3 days, rise up alive." He said this simply and clearly, and they couldn't miss it. Did you catch that? He made these claims very clearly. Critics refused to believe in the empty tomb. But one of the most compelling evidence that showing the empty tomb story is true, that its emptiness was first discovered by women. Significant because Jesus' time, women held very little power and authority. In fact, except for rare cases, Jewish law precluded women from giving testimony in a court of law. So if the resurrection accounts had been manufactured, as critics claim, women would never have been included as first witnesses. Common sense tells us that the best reason the women were reported as holding that honor is because it was the truth of what happened. These women were brave, but the Bible tells us that Christ's male disciples weren't. It's hard for me to say that. Most scurried to hide in Jesus' darkest hours. Yet the Jewish leaders credited these men with possibly possessing enough courage to try to steal his body in order to circulate the rumor that he had risen. Interesting. So the Jewish leaders took extra precautions. They ensured that Jesus' burial site, a new unused tomb belonging to whom? Joseph, right? Of Arimathea, right? Guarded by a unit of highly trained Roman soldiers. This guard unit, 4 to 10 of the most highest trained, they knew they faced severe punishment, even death, if Jesus' body was missing under their watch. So to think that soldiers didn't have to take these orders seriously and diligently policing the tomb around the clock, some would have slept on their watch, that is preposterous. Rumors were everywhere. The facts are the Roman seal was broken. The stone was rolled away. The grave clothes remained. Guards were paid to keep silent. Very interesting. Jewish leaders immediately understood they had a problem. Jesus' body was missing. But they needed to quickly hush the live witnesses. So they bribed the soldiers with a good chunk of change, promised them protection should Pilate seek to punish them for failing to guard the tomb. Obviously, the Jewish leaders had inspected it first, and they realized that the guards were telling the truth. Why else would they cover for the guards, pay them money to spread these rumors? Lastly, Christ was seen by many. And the stories go on and on. In the garden, the couple of women, and then the disciples, and then almost 500 in just one sitting. The empty tomb was proof. This is a very powerful verse found in Revelation. Take a look at it in your notes. Jesus says, "Don't fear. I'm first. I'm last. I'm alive. I died, but I came to life. And my life is now forever. See these keys in my hand? They open and lock death's doors. They open and lock hell's gates." Jesus is the only one that can say that. Amen? The only one. That's why you've gathered here on Resurrection Sunday at this hour to worship, because he's the only one. But I'm talking to you today about things that bother me. What does bother me is when we underestimate the power of Jesus. That does bother me. The second one of your notes says the empty tomb is powerful. It's powerful. These songs we were singing this morning are powerful. Did you hear the little prayer of the young lady up here? Did anyone hear her simple prayer? What was it? Thank you, God. That was powerful. Can you imagine God receiving that one from the little one? You're welcome. Jesus is powerful. The name of Jesus is powerful. Let's say it. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. One more time. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. Powerful name. I'm so bugged by people who underestimate his power. People don't talk about Jesus like he's an amazing power to be reckoned with. I remember when my family first arrived on the island. We did not have a home yet. We were staying with the Dominguez family. We were spread out all over the house, different places. And my library became Enrique's library until my books arrived from the mainland. I shared a lot of his books. I love going through his books, and I saw a lot of old paintings of Jesus. There were some old school paintings in there, very interesting, artful type paintings of Jesus, so to speak. And they looked a little different than my image that I had come from, and I was thinking, to some degree, they looked a little weaker. They were painted way back in the day. No one actually knows what Jesus looked like, but these images kind of took me back. For most of you here, you think about a painting you've seen when you've grown up. Sunday school, usually a guy with long blondish brown hair, right? You've seen some of these images. They go back in time. Some of them are still on our property here in various places. He's petting sheep, right? Kind of cute. Because we want to show his compassionate side? Absolutely. Jesus was compassionate. Yes. Did he pet sheep? Maybe. I've been reading the four Gospels a lot this week. I found nowhere where he was petting sheep, but it's very interesting. We have a lot of these paintings show him there. There's no mention of it. But here's the thing. There's the other side of Jesus we don't talk about, which is what he talks about all of the time. And that happens to be his power. And I know some of you don't like talk about his power as much because it's not as popular nowadays. What's popular is to show a different side of him, possibly a feminine side to him, his compassionate side. And absolutely, tons of passages are found about that. But you got to understand that when Jesus is talking about himself, most of the passages are about his power and his glory. Those two things. And you got to look at the way he even talked to other people. There's a strong, very, very strong, even harsh side of him. And that's what we're looking at. Because Easter's a time, Easter especially, where we celebrate his power. Power over death, my friends. It's a time where we celebrate what he said there in Revelation. Yes, there's a time when I was dead. I'm alive forevermore. I hold the keys. Amen? Those are powerful statements. Put the sheep down for a minute. I'm holding these keys. I'm unlocking hell. I'm bringing life, and I live forevermore. That's what frustrates me, as we focus in on some of these images of Jesus and forget the power that he has, the power that has been placed within inside of us if you've received him. Because we paint a weak picture of him, okay? Take a deep breath with me. One, two, three. And let it out. The reason you were able to do that is because of Jesus. There's a being right now who's alive only because he allowed you to take that breath. Were you able to take it? That's the Jesus I'm talking about today. That's the Jesus I'm thinking that we forget. That's the Jesus he portrayed himself to be. An amazingly powerful being. He left the tomb. This week, a great friend of mine, a great warrior, sent me this picture. And I get lots of emails and I get lots of pictures. This one I held on to. It took me back a little bit. And it said these words: the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. Neat concept. And it's a screenshot from my phone. I hadn't thought of it that way. Come on in. Check it out. Nothing here. The empty tomb shows us that Jesus has power over death. He raised himself from the dead. I heard this recording years ago from a pastor who passed away many, many years ago, J. Vernon McGee. And he says this: now this is Jesus' universe, and he does things his way. Now you may have a better way, but you don't have a universe. Pretty much sums it up. Man, I was thinking that's so simple because it's so obvious. I know for myself, I get so arrogant because we're like, I don't think Jesus should have said all that stuff about hell. I don't think Jesus should have gone after those religious leaders. Could have been a little less harsh. And teachers of the law, and you know, he called them posers. I don't think he should. I don't think. You know what? You may be so brilliant. You've got a better way, don't you? But you don't have a universe. And Jesus Christ is the Lord of this universe. The story isn't over there at this point, because Jesus says in Revelation, and we can put it on the screen there. There you go. Do you understand when Jesus said this? Rising from the grave, ascending into heaven, speaking to John, who sees this very terrified, glorified Jesus. He is terrified when he sees this. Don't fear, John. I'm the first and the last. I'm alive, my friend. Yes, I died, but I came to life. My life is now forever. Don't you love that? If you have your notes and you want to underline something, underline that right there. He's saying forever. John, relax. See these keys in my hand? They open death's doors. These are huge because they open hell's gates. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Anyone in here have fear? Raise your hand. Look around the room, okay? He says, don't fear. He turns around and says, fear not. Christ is risen. Yeah. The 9 o'clock audience needs to work on that a little bit. So let's do it. Christ is risen. No fear. He holds the keys. And then I remember, that's right. Oh my gosh. I don't have to be afraid. If you saw in the skit on the video, the gentleman holding the grave clothes. First guy started laughing because he remembered the words. The second guy wasn't so sure. In fact, he had a look on his face. Then he remembered the words. That's right. That's right. Let's go. And they took off. And they shared the story. The tomb is empty. It's powerful. It's to our benefit. This is Jesus. He decides who's in, who's out, who breathes, who stops breathing. He's on my side, and he's my God. Amen? The last one is the empty tomb is permanent. It's permanent. Romans 6, 9 through 11. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life, nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving what? You got it. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language. That means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You're dead to sin, alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Scripture is loaded. They looked for him, and they couldn't find him. Jesus wasn't in the tomb 3 days after he died. He isn't in the tomb today, and he never will be. And people search for him. They come to the cross. They lay down the things at the cross that he paid for. He's not on the cross. They come to the tomb. And some of them worship at the tomb. He's not in the tomb. He is alive. He wants to be a part of your life. And he lives and breathes with his kingdom in the hearts of those who believe in what he has done and in who he is. The God-man. Fully God and fully man. John 10 says this. Jesus told the simple story. They had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. I'll be explicit. I'm the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, freely go in and out and find pasture. The thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came. So they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they've ever dreamed of. Amen? If our worship team could come up. Our thought for the week in your notes is very simple. The tomb is empty, so your life can be full. I can go on and on and on. The focus of the Word of God, the focus and mission on the disciples when Jesus ascended into heaven is very simple. In this very simple thought for the week, the tomb is empty, my friend. Your life can be full. We live in so much fear because we don't understand the power of Jesus. We live in shame. Most of us here, including myself at times, and I'm putting myself right there, we fear the future. Ooh, what's going to happen? Or we fear people, all because we don't understand the power of Christ. You understand his power, his resurrection power, and that he holds the keys to death and hell. You go, okay, that's my God. Because he's alive, he's with me. He's inside me. There's nothing to fear whatsoever. This morning, I offer you a chance to start walking on a path and on a journey that requires courage. Courage for you to hear this, for me to say this, and for you to receive this. The tomb is empty, my friend. Your life needs to be full. Today is a great day where you can turn around and ask these tough questions in your life. We're about to take communion. We're about to be singing more to our Savior, the resurrected Savior. And as we do this, I want you to think about who you're singing to. Most importantly, I want you to think about who you're coming to the table with. You may say, you know, this is Easter. I made it. I'm not even sure I'm on his side. All that can be changed today. Make a decision for Christ today. Let the resurrected Jesus, God of the universe, who owns the universe, come into your life today. I'm not going anywhere, and there's others, great friends, that would love to be up front to pray with you today. Easter Sunday, April 1st, 2018, for some of you, your spiritual birthday can happen. You are welcome to the table at that point to have communion with your living Savior. Believers that are in this room, that have looked at paintings or have images in your head, I want you to think of a very personal Savior. I want you to go past the paintings to someone powerful and can look you into the heart and say, my friend, there's no need to fear. See these keys? I've unlocked hell and it is open. I hold life and I will live forevermore. And put within your being, your filter, and then into your wellspring of life, your heart, the thought that you serve a risen Savior. There really is no painting for that. Nothing comes close. He walked out of the tomb. Only God could say that. Only the God-man. Come to the table with that Savior. And lay it all out there. Get back in touch with Him. As we serve communion this morning, this is between you and a personal Savior. This is a special time. Every single time you approach Him, you are special to Him, and this time is precious to Him. We're going to serve communion to you today. And if our help can come forward, our usher guys, that would be great. I appreciate it. I'd like for you to pray as God leads you to receive these elements. Take them as He speaks to you. Take the elements. This is not a rush time. This is a time between you and your Savior. And kids that are in the room, you can talk to God as well, just as she did. Thank you, God. Easter matters. And this morning, our scriptures, they matter. They bring us to the communion table, reminding us that this little wafer, this piece of bread, represents the body of Christ that was broken, that was given, and now resurrected. And the small cup and the juice that's in it represents the blood of that Savior that came for you and for me and put it all out there. Every single ounce of His life was given for you and in your place. Amen? Every bit. It's a reminder of who He is and what He's done. Nothing short. Father, as we approach this table this morning, You wait for us and say, welcome to the table. Come to the table. Bring it all to the table. I've been waiting for you. I've heard your prayers. I'm alive. Let's spend time together. And may communion this morning be nothing short of that precious time with our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.